Who me? I will explain it someday later why. We have just spent 10 days of praying, not only this church, but the churches all over the world. All the Sabbath keepers are praying. If you haven't done it, you can go tonight and join in still. It's not too late to talk to God. And we are praying about a three angel message. Before I go in deep into the message, I am going to talk to you what we have read last night so that we can refresh it and we can pray about it. So before I go into the scripture and we read the third angel message again, let me tell you a story. Some of you might have heard this story. A brother came to UK from Caribbean. He was driving his car. It was a nice sunny day. The windows were down. The car was going, and suddenly another car came from the opposite side. And when they cross over, the other driver said, "Pigs!" And now the brother, who was driving this car on a nice sunny day, a lot of feeling came. Think about yourself as a driver in that car and called out as pigs. He was angry, frustrated. He started thinking in his head, maybe it's color of my skin. Maybe he's jealous of my car. Maybe it's something. But he kept driving. And then a sharp bend came and he hit into pigs. The car went straight into pigs. This is an example of misunderstood warning. And that what the third angel message is. Quite often, not always, quite often, it is an illustration. Sometimes we illustrate it as misunderstood warning. So let's read the words of third angel message one more time. May I take you to Revelation? Let's read it together as a family. Revelation chapter 14. If you don't have your Bibles, please open it on your mobile phone. It's all right. Revelation chapter 14, verses 9 and 10. Let's read it together, and if we can have it on the screen, that would be great. Let's read together. Then the third angel followed. He shall be. Wow, wow, wow. During my Christian journey, when I first read these words, I was scared. And when I was translating them from Greek to English, I was more scared. But then my teacher explained it to me at New Bull College, and I will try to do the same, and let's learn from it and pray about it. These are not easy words to read. I can get that. But there are two main parts to this message. Let me summarize it for you. A cup and people who drink from it. Simple. The message is this. This is part one. The cup of God's unmixed wrath or fury, and then the people who are going to drink from it. Let's focus on the cup for a little while. Let me take this in my hand. First of all, God is telling us the contents of this cup. The contents of this cup are wine of God's fury. The word which is used in Greek for the fury, it's something which boils up quickly and subsides quickly as well. So here is a merciful lesson as well. Whatever God sent to you in his wrath is short-lived. Amen? Unless you change it. So that these are the contents of this cup. So that's the God's fury. So think about yourself for a little while. What the worst thing God can do to you, according to this third angel? What the worst thing God can do to us as believers? Just think, without talking, just think for yourself. What the worst thing God can do to you? The people, we will come back to that question again. The people who are going to drink from this cup, the second part of the message, are the people who have what? Mark of the beast. They have mark of the beast. To understand the mark of the beast, we need to understand it in comparison with seal of the God. That difference will self-explanatory. It will tell you that what it is. In Revelation 4 times, Revelation 4, Revelation 7, Revelation 14 itself, and in Revelation 22, see, people are mentioned who have the seal of the God. First, Jesus is putting his name on the forehead of the people. Then 104,000 peoples are mentioned. They are going to have the seal of the word. They will have God's name written on them. Trust me, it's very important what God's name written on your forehead means. In Hebrew or in biblical language, name is just not a label. If my name is Hannah in today's world, it's just my introduction. But remember in Exodus 34, when God was introducing himself to Moses, what he said? I am compassionate. I am long-suffering. I am good. So that was his introduction. So keep it in your head. So having God's seal on your head means God's character is fully embraced by you. That he is good. If you are in a suffering at the moment, it's going to be short-lived. Unless you make it worse for yourself. So I will come back to my question again. What the worst thing God can do to us? Let me tell you a story, another story, so that we can understand it. You all know the story very well. You are in the church longer than me. You read your Bible maybe more than me, so you heard the story. If not, every Christian knows this story. And I'm going to only share from that story only the three scenes so that you can understand what the worst thing God can do. The story is about Jesus' death. And the three scenes I am going to pick are scene number one from the garden, number two, from the trial, and number three, the crucifixion. So when Jesus was in the garden, what happened? His soul was crushed. Okay, why? Ellen G. White, if you read Desires of Ages, it will give you a complete illustration of that. The darkness was coming, and God was moving away, and sin was taking in. At that time, the Gospel of Luke tells us, he gives us a more vivid picture of it, Jesus was sweating blood. It is a medical condition, very rare medical condition, but it's called, I think, hematidrosis. It happens when you are under extreme physical and mental and emotional pain, your veins rupture, and your sweat glands sweat blood. So that happened. Jesus was sweating blood. in his death scene, we always sing about the blood of Jesus will cleanse us and blood of Jesus will do this to us. There are only two times in his death scene the blood was mentioned. Once in the garden, second at the cross, when he was pierced, that he's dead, why he can be dead so quickly. So that those are the only two mentioning of the blood. So you can imagine his pain. He was sinless, but he was going to die for us. So sin was creeping in at that time, and God was moving away. And that is the worst thing God can do to us. When we fall into us, he is going to forsake us. You know the story, what happened next. Judas came, he kisses Jesus, he betrayed him. He came with a group of people who arrested him. Peter being Peter, he picked up the sword and cut the ear of one of the men. But Jesus being Jesus, he performed his last miracle there. He healed the guy. And then what happened? Then we entered into the second scene. You can see the characteristics of beast here in this scene. Trial after trial in this scene. He was first taken for the religious trial. Then he was taken for the political trial. Then again to Herod. Then back to Pilate. Again and again, we are seeing the drama of the power, arbitrary power. The power we have seen in the George Floyd case, when 9 minutes somebody shoved their knee on someone's neck. I still can't see that video. It's impossible. That is the display of beastly power. And we have seen the same display in Jesus' trial as well. He was innocent, and there was a tradition to forgive an innocent man. But they didn't. He was taken to the cross. Why? Because he knew what he was doing. We see the beastly characteristics on one side and what Jesus was doing. He was calm. He was healing. And on the cross, what he did? He has forgiven someone. You know, when this calmness comes to you, if somebody abuse you here, what we do? We start defending ourselves with the greater power. But he was not doing that. When such calmness comes, when you know what you are doing, when you know what you are sacrificing and for whom you are sacrificing. So we are blessed as believers that we belong to such Messiah. We are happy to give our time to him, our things. When we come to church, why we come to church? To look at each other with an angry eye? To show the spiritual violence? To tell you how knowledge I have got? To tell you how beautifully I can sing, but you can't? Let's stop this. Let's look at the sacrifice. When you come to church, you don't come here to fill yourself up with the anger, with the hatred. You come here to ease it down so that you go out and face the beast, which is there, which is not there not only to take you, but to take your kids. Kids who are in a society when it is fashionable to say there is no God. So when you come to church, we do not need to show these beastly characteristics. We need to come together. So look at yourself, please. Look at each other. Look, please look. I'm requesting you to look at each other. And if you have anger or feeling of resentment for any brother or sister, let's close our eyes and pray for once. Let's go into prayer. Holy, holy, holy God, God Almighty, God I believe and God we all believe. You told me in your scriptures that unless I forgive my brother and sister of their wrongdoing, you are not going to listen to my prayers. So Lord, I am helpless with these feelings of resentment, hatred and anger. I'm not mentioning names, but Lord, help me to resolve these feelings. I am helpless, Lord. Bless my brothers and sisters who are sitting in this sanctuary. Amen. Amen. So, coming back to the cup, when Jesus was in the garden, what he said? Lord, take this cup away from me. Because it was impossible for him to do that. But what happened? Then God let these powers destroy him. And that was the temporary stage. But when the sin completely crept in, he was crucified. And that is the permanent place. That is the permanent place. Permanent place is death. What serpent told Eve? Nothing is going to happen to you. You can do this and you can live independent of God. And what God is telling you, if sin will come, I will forsake you. And that's the worst thing which can happen to us. That is the third angel message. It's like a fire alarm. God is not telling you what he's going to do. God is telling you, stop, don't move towards the death. So when he is going to forsake you, number one, then he will let you to develop those beastly characteristics. You will make wrong choices. You will become determined on those choices. And that will lead you to death, which is permanent. And I'm not sure anyone who is sitting here or who is listening wants a death like that, which is away from God. So that is the third angel message. It's often misunderstood. Don't look at the punishment. Look what he's saying. My people, my saints, my Sabbath keepers, don't do this. Don't fall into the trap of the sin over and over again. So let me summarize it very quickly. You look at the first angel message. What is telling you? Fear God. Not become afraid of it, that he's an entity who will come and destroy you. No, it's not like that. It's asking you to start a spiritual revival in yourself. Look into yourself deeply. That's what we have read during the 10 days of prayer. That look into yourself deeply and revive yourself. Amen. Only you can do it with his help, obviously, not on your own. That is the first angel message. What is the second angel telling you? Babylon has fallen. System is corrupt. I'm not saying that the system he has placed us is not corrupt, but it is going to destroy. Or if you read the second angel message, and if we have time, we will go through it deeply, you will see the characteristics of beast mentioning one by one, and one by one. Let's not make choices in which we start admiring these characteristics unknowingly. Let not make choices, then we are participating in the sinful world. Yeah. That is the second angel message. The third angel message is, what the worst thing God can do to you? He can take himself away from you. When you are determined on the beastly characteristics. And that is the time when you are going to drink from this cup. And that is the time when you will meet his fury and he will take you to the permanent death. And that is the message. It's not the message. Every single time when you read the pages of Revelation, of course they are scary, but they also come with the mercy of God. He has already given us the warning. So let's accept it. Judgment is sweet because he is a forgiving God. He is in the business of forgiving you and forgiving me. He is going to bless you and he is going to bless me. The second angel message is giving you determination that yes, the system is corrupted, but God is going to be with you. And the third angel message is, please don't stay where you are. Try to forgive others. Adopt his characteristics so that you will be forgiven. And these are the three angel messages we are reading every single day. So when you come to the church, just for once, when you are sitting together, when you are sharing knowledge with each other, especially in Sabbath school, please be considerate that what you have, maybe other person don't have. So you cannot shove knowledge into someone's mind. You need to sit down, you need to calm, and you need to patiently tell them, my brother and sister, this is my understanding. I can be wrong, but I'm not forcing my understanding to you, on you, but you can listen, and you can go home, and you can read about it, and then we can discuss it. Last Sabbath when I was here, I'm not pointing any fingers, we did everything but the Sabbath message. We searched the whole Bible, but we forgot of the Sabbath school lesson. So let's, when we are doing it, let's be polite to each other. We face everyone out there who is telling us we are lunatics. We face in this world who are saying, explain to me what Trinity is. There are many people outside there who are saying, this is a corrupted Bible. They tell you this. And when you face all that, and when you come into this sanctuary where you meet people who believe in the same things you are believing, let's be kind to each other. That's the third angel message. That's what he is asking you to pray about. The person sitting next to you, Jesus died for that person as well, not only for you. The person standing in front of you, Jesus died for that person as well. If they make a mistake, if I make a mistake, please bring the gift of the Spirit, the forgiveness. Amen. It's okay. It's not written on stone. This system, the church which we have made, it's made by us. The program which we have made, it's made by a human. If something goes up and down, it's okay. Let's make this worship experience a holy experience. There is no need who is doing what and who is doing do. This is not a power struggle. All the things you are doing to in this church are voluntarily, isn't it? Yes. You are not getting paid for that. So why the fight? Why the power struggle? I don't understand this. Maybe I'm not from the Adventist school, or maybe I'm not from the Adventist culture, so I don't understand it. So help me understand that. So let's work together, at least while we are here. For how long? 9 to 1 or 2, something like that? That's the time. Why make each other's life miserable? Why? Like, I don't understand that. If I can understand we are human beings, and I can understand that there will be problems, and I can understand that we are going to argue about something one way or another because we are not perfect. You will have problems with your leadership. All right. You will have problems with your elders. All right. But please, let's talk it through. Amen. Like humans, like educated people, and let teach our kids that we are the best human beings because we are his followers. And he gave his life for us. So that's what we are doing with our lives when he gave his life for us. Let's make him proud that you have given your life for Sabbath keepers. Let me read from the, if I have it, Ellen G. White's word, one of our pioneers, what she said. It is from the Christ Object Lessons, page 145. It is the darkness of misunderstanding which is surrounding this world. Men are losing their knowledge of his character. We want the seal of God on our forehead. Do we? Yes. Because why are we here then? Why are we spending every Sabbath here? Why are we spending every Wednesday praying? Why are we searching up and down in our list what church people are saying? Because we want his seal. We want to be called his. And if we want that seal, we need to know his character. It must be engraved in us. Amen. It has been misrepresented and misunderstood. At this time, a message from God is to be proclaimed, a message which shows its influence, its God's power, and its saving power. His character is to be made known into the darkness of the world, so that light can come with his goodness, with his mercy, and his truth. If you want to revive your faith one more time, please go and read Desire of Ages. Yes. Desire of Ages is the book which brought me to the Seventh-day Adventist Amen. Church. Amen. And you will be blessed. May God bless you all. Amen.